When we consider the matter of faith, we must understand that the believer has the right to become a child of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, the record states, "He came into his own, and they that were his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name." The believer, therefore, has the right to become a child of God. The word right in this text is translated power in the King James Version. It is also used in Revelation 9, 10, and Luke 12, and 5. The word means the right or ability to act. In the original Greek, this word power in this text means physical and mental power, the ability or strength with which one is endued, which he either possesses or exercises. Thayer's Greek English Lexicon. The believer is active. He has the right to become a child of God. Not that he is already a child of God, but he has the right to become a child of God by virtue of his faith. Man cannot become a child of God unless he is a believer, but not every believer becomes a child of God. The believer only has the right to become a child of God. We are not unmindful of the theory which declares that man is saved by faith only. But how could it be true in contrast to the simple, plain truth of God, which states in this text that the believer has the right to become a child of God? If a person is a child of God by faith only, a child of God the very moment he believes, then what would be the meaning of the Word of God in this text which states that the believer has the right to become a child of God? How could one become a child of God if he is already a child of God? What would you think if someone were to declare that a child has the right to become the child of his mother and father? Rather absurd, don't you think? Or you would say the child cannot become the child of his parents because he is already the child of his father and mother. Then, a man is already a child of God. If he is already a child of God, he can't become a child of God. If one is already a child, then he obviously could not become that which he already is. In John 8, verses 31 and 44, we have the record of some believers who did not become children of God, and who do not have the right for the blessings of Christ. Christ exposed a class of Jews who were said to believe on him, yet declared that they were of their father the devil. In verse 31 it is recorded, "Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye truly my disciples." It is declared that they were believers. If the theory of salvation by faith only were true, then we would be forced to the conclusion that they were saved already because they were believers. But such is not the case. They were believers. But in verse 44 of the same chapter, our Lord charged that they were of their father the devil. Listen to what he said. Are you listening? "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father is your will to do." Yes, believers, but too stubborn-hearted to accept Christ. As believers, they had the right to become children of God through obedience to the will of God. But they were of their father, the devil, because they would not hear and obey the word of the Lord. Another class of believers who did become Christians is revealed in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. Now, this is quite a contrast. Paul came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples and inquired, "Did ye receive the Holy Spirit when ye believed?" Notice, they were believers. Furthermore, they were disciples. A disciple is one who is a learner, one who has been taught. They were believers. A believer is one who has heard the word. They were disciples who were believers who had been baptized. But they were not Christians. They had the right to become children of God. What a difference. Listen now. The second question Paul asked of them was, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." How different Paul was from many modern preachers of today. The second question he asked was, "What about your baptism?" Some preachers today would ridicule this command of the Lord, declaring that baptism is non-essential to salvation. The Ephesians replied by stating they received John's baptism. Believers? Yes, they were believers. They were baptized believers. That is, they were baptized of John's baptism. But Paul declared, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Jesus." Then, the Bible says, "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." They were baptized the second time. As believers, they had the right to become Christians, and they did become children of God. Eternal salvation is conditional, just as the believer has the right to become a child of God through his exercise of faith by obedience to the commands of the Lord. The faithful Christian has the right to eternal salvation. The unbeliever and the unfaithful Christian do not have that right to be saved. If the unbeliever may become a believer and be saved, the believer may become an unbeliever and be lost. Man is a free moral agent. He is a free moral being. He may believe or he may disbelieve, obey or disobey. Eternal life is the gift of God to be received by obedient believers at the end, the Bible says. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto sanctification and the end, eternal life. Now listen, when is the end? Hear the apostle when he declared, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then they that are his, Christ at his coming." Notice, "Then cometh the end," the apostle declared. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 through 24. Paul, "When cometh the end?" After the resurrection and at his coming. What shall be the reward for the faithful? Eternal life, beyond doubt. Other blessings of faith are found with reference to life. Both spiritual life in this age and eternal life in the world to come are ascribed to faith in the Scriptures. Speaking of himself, the Apostle Paul declared, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I live now in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Galatians 2, verse 20. In one of the most familiar passages of the New Testament, John recorded the words of Jesus when he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3, verses 14 through 16. Believeth, which equates to eternal life in this text, is a comprehensive term. It is very evident from the multiplied scriptures that faith alone does not warrant the blessings of eternal life. As a matter of fact, our Lord Jesus, in this very same chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 31, stated, "He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Believing on the Son means eternal life, but obeying not the Son means eternal condemnation. Therefore, faith and obedience are inseparable for eternal life, Jesus declared. Another way in which the Bible speaks of the blessings of faith is related to light. In John 12:46, Jesus declared, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me may not abide in the darkness." And in his epistle to the Colossians, Paul states that many have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have toward all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, whereof ye heard before the word of truth, the gospel. Colossians 1, verses 3 and 5. Then in verses 12 and 13 of that chapter, the apostle thanks God who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Yes, faith plays a vital part in the process whereby one passes from spiritual darkness into the light of God. The Holy Spirit tells us that believers shall enter into the Lord's promised rest in heaven. Hear the Spirit's words. Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. For we who have believed do enter into that rest. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 3. It should be observed that the chapter later refers to those who fail to enter into that rest because of disobedience in verse 6. Then again in verse 11, he warns, "Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience." My friends, just as unbelief and disobedience go together, so do faith and obedience equate one to the other. The Scriptures here, as well as other passages, speaks of the believers as being obedient believers. The faith that obeys is the faith that saves. What kind of faith do you have? The Christian must be aware of the necessity of spiritual growth in every aspect of Christian character. The Christian is obligated to live a faithful, consecrated life of service to the Lord. It is just as important for one to continue the manifestation of his faith by obedience unto the will of God after having become a Christian as the necessity of faithful obedience in becoming a child of God. After having told the apostles to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Jesus furthermore declared, "Teaching them, that is, those whom you have baptized, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Living by faith is full-time employment until even death. The Bible says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Revelation 2:10. The blessings of faith come to those who have faith that is living, dynamic, and growing. The faith that saves and brings God's spiritual blessing is the faith that leads one to obedience to God. The child of God must be fully aware of the fact that he may forfeit everlasting life or the blessings of faith. Read the words of the Lord as revealed by the inspired Apostle Peter when he wrote, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ." But now notice, are you listening? "He that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 4 through 10. How could it be possible to misunderstand the exhortation and warning of this inspired apostle in this text? To those children of God who had escaped the corruption that is in the world, he said, "Give diligence, add to your faith." Notice the apostle specifically said, "Add to your faith." The Holy Spirit, through the apostle, concludes, "Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Thank God for the assurance. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. But don't miss the double meaning of this admonition. Obviously, the conclusion must also be, if you don't do these things, ye shall fall. Thank God. There is absolute assurance for those who are faithful to the Lord, even faithful unto death.